I will call the July 9th Plan Commission meeting to order at 7:02. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B1, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 18th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion of motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C1, Blockton's Kitty Resale Shop. This is a public hearing on a special use application. You're Joel's reaching and Nick's looking, so I don't know who's going to.
I can give an introduction.
All right, do the introduction, then we'll call the hearing to order. Thank you.
Yes, there is a public hearing on this matter. It's a special use. The applicant is asking for approval to locate a children's used clothing, furniture, toy, educational materials business in a vacant tenant space in the Orchard View Shopping Center. The applicant has indicated that in addition to having those kinds of products inside, they would also provide an area where children could do activities and be supervised while their parents are shopping. Based on our SIC codes, this would be a special use in the B3 zoning district. That's the reason why we're having a public hearing tonight.
Very good. Mr. Fuchs, please, with the meeting house.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 9th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Lakeisha R. Blockton, doing business as Blockton's Kitty Resale Shop, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title number 5932, used merchandise stores, to allow for a children's resale shop selling children's used clothing, furniture, toys, and educational resources with child care services, supervised children's activities while parents shop, use upon property zone B3 Community Business District, located at 7170 South 76th Street.
Thank you, Mr. Fuchs. It appears that we have a properly noticed public hearing notice. So just a note that our local ordinances require that, special use. Okay, I will open the citizen public hearing. Any citizen wishing to comment? Any citizen wishing to speak on this item? Any citizen wishing to speak? Seeing none coming forward, I will note for the record that we have received a fax from Nance and Eli Gusevic, 7518 Carter Circle North, in opposition to the special use application for this particular applicant. Any other persons wishing to speak on this matter? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Questions for the staff or applicant from the commission? The applicant is the applicant here? Would you please come forward, Ms. Blockton? Thank you. Have a seat. You can come up here and have a seat. My only question is, first of all, your name and address, please, for the record.
Lakeisha Blockton, 8167 North 76.
And that's Milwaukee.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry.
It's all right. My only question relates to lack of a better term, I'm going to call it child care that you're going to offer. I have some concerns as to the length of time that whole activity will take place on an individual basis. Can you just speak more about that, please?
Basically, while the parents are shopping, I'll just have someone who can read books, do puzzles with the children, puzzles, books, singing songs, just keeping the kids kind of busy while the parents are actually shopping.
Thank you. Commissioner Hogan.
Would that kind of be like something that we have at our Pick and Save with the little park type thing? I don't know if you've ever seen it up here off of 76th Street. They have a little play area while the parents are shopping. Would it be something to that?
On a smaller scale.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for children's resale shop use upon a property located at 7170 South 76th Street?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
For discussion purposes, I do note that I have not had any communication from the alderman of the district on this matter. Any other discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I note that the vote is 4-1. That by rule that passes. I'm sorry. 4-0. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, we got to move to item C2, Pleasant View Elementary School basketball court addition and relocation. Mr. Deal.
Thank you. There is a public hearing on this one as well. As a natural resource special exception, the process includes the applicant preparing a natural resource protection plan, identifying the impacts on the natural resources. In this instance, there's a wetland located behind or to the south of the school. Immediately behind the school is an existing paved area where they have some basketball courts and some other activities. They wish to enlarge that primarily to the west and primarily use that for basketball courts. Expanding that paved area to the west encroaches on this wetland setback, 50-foot setback that our ordinances require on wetlands. As a permanent encroachment from paving, that's not allowed. That's the reason why they're going through this natural resource special exception. Temporary disturbances are allowed within that setback, which is distance between 30 feet from the wetland to 50 feet from the wetland. Temporary disturbances are allowed as long as they restore, that area. That's also going to occur. That's not part of this special exception, but we pointed it out in the staff report. That is also going to occur, and that is one of the conditions of approval recommended by staff, is that they ensure that that restoration does take place. But again, the special exception before us tonight is specifically just for the encroachment of the paving into that setback. Representatives from the school district is here if you have any questions, and staff is recommending approval with a couple of conditions.
Before I open a public hearing, just one question. Do you know who produced this document?
Is that the applicant?
That would have been quite a beginning, I imagine. I don't know what.
My issue is it's unsigned. There's no way to know who it is.
It would have been our designer, quite a beginning.
Okay. Staff note, when it comes in without anybody's information on it, anything handwritten. But okay. All right. This is a public hearing. So, Mr. Fuchs, you have a notice to read.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 9th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Lewis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application from Franklin Public Schools for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions for property, for property located at 4601 West Marquette Avenue, zoned I-1 Institutional District, which bears tax key number 788-9980-000. The requested special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of allowing for grading and paving within 1,160 square feet of the 50-foot wetland setback on the Pleasant View Elementary School property, for the expansion of the asphalt pavement area behind the school to install two basketball hoops, and to relocate two basketball hoops to create two separate basketball courts on the Pleasant View Elementary School property.
For the record, we've received no other communication regarding this particular matter for the public hearing. Mr. Fuchs or Dietl, the Environmental Commission's action was what?
They recommended approval conditions pretty much similar to staff's, differences being primarily a couple conditions at that time in front of the Environmental Commission didn't have a time frame. The conditions in the packet now, recommendations from staff, include time frames. In a couple instances, it's within 1 year of receiving approval. In a couple instances, it's prior to commencement of work. And I'll go into more detail if you wish, particularly later. But Environmental Commission recommending approval, same conditions essentially as staff. Staff is also recommending approval with those conditions.
This is a public hearing. I'll now open the public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? This is a natural resource special exception. Those who wish to be heard should come forth, be sworn for their testimony.
Sworn in. Are you going to get sworn in too?
No, I'm getting sworn at. Mr. City Attorney.
Please raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Leroy Lewandowski, 830 West Winston Way. I visited that school district building there, and I was kind of upset about the fact that they want to go into the wetlands. When I looked at the east side of the building, that looks like there's plenty of room to build whatever they want on the east side of the building. And somebody mentioned that that was woods on both sides. I just think that's like a borderline farmers, you know, they leave the trees grow and the brush grow, and I don't see any woods around there, but I just feel they should be built on the east side instead of just going into the wetlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Seeing none, I will close the citizens' comment period. Questions from the public hearing? I'm sorry, public hearing. I always do that. It'll take another 2 years. I'll get it. Questions from the commissioners? Commissioner Thomas.
I just have a couple questions for Joel here. Just in regards to, because I have a question on this issue, in regards to what Mr. Lewandowski just mentioned on the east side of the building. There's another wetland over there, isn't there?
Yes.
So that pretty much comes almost right up to the building. The setbacks do.
Yes.
And the buffers. It's right up to the sidewalk there, which is just a few feet off the building.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, with the setback and buffers, it's all the way up to the side of their sidewalk.
Okay. The other question is on regarding that wetland over there, there's a setback and buffer at the driveway going out of the parking lot up there.
Yes.
Is that a special exception that was granted in the past?
No, it's grandfathered in. The school and that driveway have been there since 1970-something, prior to these rules.
To the rules, okay. But it's basically, it's the same kind of condition. We're affecting the, what is it, the buffer zone, or?
So for today's request, it's just the setback.
It's just that little corner up in the peak up there.
Correct, that little portion of the red area.
And that's all, like, similar to, like, the park down there at Franklin Woods. That's all already groomed, landscaped
lawn
that's being maintained and trimmed and everything. And so this is going to cut into that lawn, basically.
Yep, and I can note that the lawn had been there just by air photo interpretation since at least the 1990s.
Right, and currently there's a drainage, the property drainage, like the roof drainage, rainwater drainage is just through a pipe that dumps out in that field near the wetlands.
Yeah, according to the applicant's narrative and their maps, yes.
And that's going to now go to a retention pond to the southwest of the building.
I believe they're redirecting some. I don't know if they're redirecting all of it.
Well, I can see on the plan that there is piping underground that is connecting pretty much everything. If that's the case, he can address that if he wants.
Name and address, Mr. Cloutier. You've done this before.
Mark Cloutier, Franklin Public Schools, 8255 West Forest Hill Avenue. Yes, we're redirecting basically everything from about the midpoint of the building and the backside of the building to that retention pond. And the things that are going to the east now will continue to go to the east.
But the dump out into the field is gone.
The dump out in the field will be replaced, and that water will be moved to the detention pond.
And I see you have drainage underneath all that bituminous pavement that you're putting in to take water out.
Yes, if you look at that now, it's rocking and rolling, and so we're trying to create a sufficient play area for the 500 children that go to that school.
Okay, so this is grading and drainage improvements and everything involved in this. And then, Joel, there was a, you said there were time limits added to stuff. That was for, there's going to be doing some renovation or reclaiming of some of the wetland plantings and stuff like that. That's a requirement?
It's a recommendation from the Environmental Commission and staff.
And it's carrying through to yours, and it's going to be a year time frame that you've got put on there or something?
Correct.
All right.
Commissioner Hogan. And Commissioner Haley.
I was just, you are putting the chain link fence around that, the...
Yes, around the pond?
Yes, okay.
We want our children safe.
Yes.
Commissioner Haley.
Does it need to be 6 feet tall to keep them safe? These are elementary kids.
Basketball.
Seems a bit overkill.
Well...
Basketball.
After hours, there could be a lot. I would not... I guess I would ask what would be the purpose of the
lowering. I asked the question. It's just a visual blight issue. But if that's what you want to look at for the next 20 years, it's fine with me.
Well,
I will move on.
Rather than having a teenager climb over, you know, having it so easy for a teenager to climb over at night or on weekends, I guess I'd like to see the safer the better.
I understand. Easy to climb a six-footer, too.
Yeah, a six-footer is just a challenge, that's all.
Waiting to happen. Okay, then just a couple of observations. Up on the northeast part of the site, you are replacing a piece of sidewalk which does fall within that buffer. I guess staff mentioned that it is grandfathered. It was there, but you're replacing it in kind, and I guess, recommend that we just use caution when they remove that, reset the form so as not to further disturb that buffer because it's not actually being included in the calculations.
Okay.
Then the other suggestion I'd like to see if this is approved is that I know that there's been a lot of effort put into the area to the east over the years of the neighbors, the alderwoman working on plantings, trees, natives, and all that. And since you haven't completely figured out how you're going to do the mitigation, I'd like to see you work closely with them because I'm going to guess that they probably got some ideas of what could be done quickly and easily that would actually benefit this area maybe better than just adding some additional plants. So I think that would help us all out and you'll probably get a little bit more bang for the effort out of that, and certainly then not undo anything that they may have spent a lot of effort on. I know they've been working on it for many years, trying to naturalize that area.
Mr. City Engineer.
Mr. Deedle, on June 11, we gave some comments, and I know that these are dated 6/26. Do you know if all of our comments were incorporated? I'm looking, trying to verify if they were or not. Seven comments, short memo.
I'm not sure.
Some were like soil disturbance permit. Some others were on page C5, C71. Installation
nope.
Construction.
Nope, I didn't see them.
Okay. In your recommendation, just note that we're still looking for those comments, I guess, make sure. As long as we can get those addressed.
Ms. Black and I appreciate you sitting here, and we hope you stay for the whole meeting, but you don't have to. Any other questions, comments for staff? Public hearing is closed. We'll move on to, is there a motion to recommend approval of the Franklin Public Schools Natural Resources Features Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decisions recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council consideration of the Environmental Commission recommendations? Is there such a motion? Commissioner Haley.
I would make that motion with the addition of something to reflect the comment that I had that the mitigation plan for the impacts be coordinated and worked out with the alderwoman and affected residents right there that have been involved in that.
Second.
In that far southeast corner of the property is where they've worked.
Yes, and wherever. The point is they may have something right there. Rather than jamming plants in near where we've done it, let's put it where it's most effective. And I think they can probably give you some good advice, or there may be some invasives control that would be more effective.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mark. Move to item C3, Crohn's Incorporated Development Improvements. They want to do packaging machinery. It's a change to the Unified Development Ordinance text amendment. This is not a public hearing. This is an action item. Oh, this is a public hearing. Okay. Mr. Deedle.
Yes, there are two items on the agenda for this project. One is the public hearing for the UDO text amendment, and then there's a second related site plan amendment that does not have a public hearing. So for the public hearing, it's a UDO, or a Unified Development Ordinance text amendment. The business has been here so long that it predates the Unified Development Ordinance, predates our use of the SIC codes, and by SIC codes is not one of the listed permitted uses in the M1. So the UDO text amendment would be to add the SIC code 3565 to the list of permitted uses in the M1 zoning district to allow this business to be legal and conforming, which would then open up the option or the ability for them to do this site plan amendment for their building addition. Staff has looked at it, and in our staff report, we give examples of what kind of businesses are included in this SIC code 3565 packaging machinery. They fit in that. The other examples staff believes are good examples of what should be permitted in the M1, so we're recommending approval.
This is a public hearing. Mr. Fuchs, you have a public hearing notice to read.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 9th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Crohn's, Inc. for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text to Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 3565, Packaging Machinery, allow for such use as a permitted use in the M1 Limited Industrial District.
The net on this, ladies and gentlemen, is they want to make packaging equipment there. They now make bottle labeling equipment there. So this is a public hearing. I will now open a public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Questions from the commission? All right. Seeing no questions from the commission, is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, the SIC Title Number 3565, Packaging Machinery, to allow such use as a permitted use in the M1 Limited Industrial District?
Motion to.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing no discussion of that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Let's move to the site plan amendment. Mr. Deagle.
So as I briefly mentioned, they're asking or requesting permission for a building expansion, primarily their main entrance. And the adjacent employee entrance on the southwest side and the south side of the building. By doing that, it's going further into the adjacent parking lot, so they're making some parking lot changes, slightly relocating the driveway parking lot entrance. The things to note, I guess, is because of the age of this facility, it predates the Unified Development Ordinance. They don't meet the landscape surface ratio, the amount of open space that's supposed to be on the parcel. We require 40%. They only have approximately 15. But by these changes, they will be increasing it by a little bit. Doesn't currently meet the landscaping standards, but they are proposing to add 16 trees and 76 shrubs. We are losing approximately 9 parking spaces and some motorcycle parking spaces, but we believe they have more than enough parking on the site. So bottom line, it's coming into further compliance with our current standards based on the extent of changes, which are not that significant. We think that's fine and it's okay. So we're recommending approval with the two conditions, one being that they also get their approval of the UDO text amendment and that they just be aware that they have to get separate sign approval for any signage. Otherwise, we're recommending approval.
Very good. Gentlemen, name and address, please, for the record.
Rob Williams of TDI Associates, we're the architects and engineers for the projects.
You've never been here before.
Never. North 8, West 22350, Johnson Drive, Suite B4, Waukesha, Wisconsin 53186.
Wes Nosick with Wes Allen Construction Company, the owner's representative on the construction end. Address is 13545 Watertown Plank Road, Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Thank you, gentlemen. Questions for the applicant or staff? This is in keeping with the informal code of everyone that moves into the industrial business park that you must expand. Crohn's done it a couple of times, so. Questions for the applicant? Commissioner Haley.
I guess I wasn't seeing it that I was just looking for. On the handicap accessible spots, we're creating handicap ramps and detectable warning fields and all that.
I'm trying to learn how to read the commissioner's faces, and I'm reading. Is there a motion to recommend, motion to adopt a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 9600 South 58th Street, otherwise known to us old folks as Crohn's Incorporated, to allow building for a building, parking lot, ingress and egress, and landscaping modifications.
Motion to approve.
Second. Discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, folks. Move to item D1, Horizon Resource Group, Incorporated, LLC, residential land division. Mr. Deal.
We look the same.
Yeah.
No public hearing on this one, just a certified survey map. Two-lot certified survey map. 80th Street ends at the wooded, at this wooded parcel. As the staff report mentions, they've had numerous meetings with staff about different possibilities for this property. Not too long ago, we had a meeting with the alderperson, the alderman of this district, and some of the larger property owners to find out what their plans were. Because as you can tell by looking at the photograph, you know, there is an 80th Street that stops right there, Hilltop Lane that ends right to the north of this property. And if you look at old enough plans, like the old 1992 Comprehensive Master Plan, those roads were envisioned to go through. So we talked about those possibilities, but on the other hand, if you look at the photograph, that's very nicely wooded parcel. That parcel is in the approximate location of a potential future park in the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan. However, there were some preliminary discussions about when that parcel was available not too long ago, but there was a little interest expressed by the city at that time for acquiring that property. In addition, I can mention the current Comprehensive Master Plan shows that property and the vacant property to the west as a potential location for a potential future school. I recently talked to Mark Coutier. We talked to the superintendent, and at this point in time, they're no longer interested in
both.
At this point in time, they're no longer interested in either one of those properties for a future school site. They just wanted to let the Plan Commission know that they are interested in the potential for future school sites in the southwest part of the city, south of Ryan Road. And that would be another topic for discussion in the future date, but they wanted me to pass that along. So in terms of this property, for the certified survey map, based on all those considerations, the property owners, I can roughly say, I think there were three different property owners that met with the alderman. One was interested in developing sooner rather than later, but had no plans or ideas. One property owner may be interested in development, but no idea when, probably way down the road. And one property owner wasn't interested in any future development at all. So there was no consensus about should those roads go through, should reservations be held for those roads to go through in the future. There was no consensus. Based on all that information, the presence of the woodlands, costs, the applicant is proposing a two-lot certified survey map. Based on the natural resource protection plan they prepared, they would be able to disturb less than or remove less than 30% of the woods to build these two homes. Anything more than 30%, they would have to do a natural resource special exception. Those are pretty nice woods. They're proposing to put in a cul-de-sac meeting full city specifications. They would even stub in the sidewalk a little bit into that cul-de-sac. They would also agree to allow an easement for a future water main to go all the way across the property to the north, to Hilltop Lane, in case the city would ever want to put the water main in there at some point in the future. Those, I think, were the main issues. Staff's recommending approval with a couple of conditions. One is that the Natural Resource Protection Plan be reviewed by the second consultant, and if there's any comments, that their plan be revised accordingly. We'll need a conservation easement for these woods to be preserved, and staff's recommending that there be a comprehensive master plan amendment. This is not a rezoning or anything like that that requires a comprehensive master plan amendment, but there are statements in the Unified Development Ordinance that CSMs be reviewed for consistency with the comprehensive master plan, and it's sound planning practice to be consistent with the plan whenever possible. What I'm saying then is the comprehensive master plan currently shows this area as natural resources and potential future school. We would propose to do an amendment the city would sponsor, because we just realized that at the last minute, that we would sponsor a comprehensive master plan amendment for this property if the CSM is approved, to show it as residential. So those would be the conditions. We do have some suggestions. These are very nice woods. The houses that would be built, the two homes that would be built on this, would be entirely surrounded by woods. They have to have pretty small yards to meet that 30% preservation of the woods. So we have suggestions that they put in a fence or signage to demarcate where that conservation easement is, because it's easy to say, yeah, it's on the certified survey map, it's on a conservation easement, but how many people look at that on a regular basis? They don't. But they would hopefully notice on a regular basis that there's a fence or signage where this conservation easement is, and hopefully that would result in better protection of that conservation easement. So that's a suggestion, staff. If the Plan Commission wanted that to be a requirement, that would have to be added to the resolution.
Mr. Krosh, I assume?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you. Your name and address, please, for record.
Joe Krosh, 3341 North Menominee River Parkway, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
I got to tell you, you're in not real trouble, but you're in trouble because you have two former aldermen for this district. This particular property has been the subject of, as you know, hours of discussion on how to properly develop it. It's a tough site.
It is.
Yeah, it's a very tough site. I'm being very familiar with that particular area. I think what you've come up with is probably the only thing you can come up with for this. Any questions from the commission to the staff or Commissioner Thinnes?
Joel, you have current zoning here as R3 Suburban Estate Single Family Residence District. Is that the R3E,
nope.
Not the estate?
The standard R.
It's the standard R. So this isn't the minimum large lot with large homes?
Nope.
And our this zoning is the same zoning as all the surrounding neighborhood is.
Stonewood.
I think just Stonewood is R5 or something, and R3 would be the one to the north.
Yeah, this group, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
On this Exhibit A, conservation easement, those are outlining the areas that are going to be marked as the easements for putting a home on these.
So in those holes would be the home in their yard. That would be where they could remove trees if they wish.
And the driveways.
And the driveways, yes. And that would be the only place they could remove trees.
And even though there's no cast in stone plans right now, that's the plan, is to develop it as residential homes too?
Yes. Yes, we already have one Franklin resident already put under contract, the lot number one.
Sweet.
And not sure about lot number two.
Okay, so you're in the process of selling it.
Commissioner Haley.
Some comments and then a question. I agree with the mayor. This isn't a really nice piece of land, and it's very challenging to develop. It's a shame that can't do something with it in terms of parkland. It would probably serve the neighborhood well. But that being said, I understand there's been a lot of efforts to try to make this happen. And I do agree that this is probably the best that can be done with it. A comment and observation that I guess I'd share with my fellow commissioners. We've done this before. This sends us down a slippery slope in terms of, and I like the way it's being handled now with the conservation easement, but many times this is done. We are approached in the future with the desire to put in larger facilities to remove more trees because that's the only thing that's doable. There's been 101 reasons where we see requests coming in to then modify what we've just decided on now. So right now this makes sense, but the fear that I have is a lot of times what we've heard from applicants is, as Joel had said, gee, I didn't know that this was there. The seller didn't advise me of it. I haven't looked at the CSM. And they're in front of us with the hardship case. So as you're selling these, I think it would really help if they were crystal clear that they've got an envelope that they need to work within. And it will be a challenge to stay under that 30% take. Especially, I'm going to assume that these will be higher-end homes. The tenancy will want to be bigger, and they're going to have to trade that off with a smaller lot and other things. That said, what I've got the biggest problem with here, and I guess this is maybe a question for city engineer or staff, the cul-de-sac is killing me. In order to put that cul-de-sac in, the first thing that happens is at least four ancient heritage oaks come down. They're right there in that footprint. I guess my question is, and I understand the need for fire access and all that, we've been living in a situation for many years since this was developed with no cul-de-sac there. Is there a way that we can make an exception for that and find some different way of accommodating those two driveways that might save those trees? They're huge, they're beautiful, they're very old, and they're right smack in the footprint of where this cul-de-sac sits. Now, there will be other significant trees that will fall to the ultimate development, but it just seems a shame to go in and ruin one of the nicest gateway to this parcel.
I agree, Mr. Haley. There's one oak in particular. I personally, in talking with staff, I didn't see any way to develop these two pieces without the cul-de-sac, just from the standpoint of fire and safety and getting their snow removal. So personally, I didn't even suggest not putting a cul-de-sac in. I thought, just with my experience, that would be the only way to do anything with this site. But I would definitely welcome that, and that would probably be able to save at least a couple of those. Because I know that first one, when you drive in, would definitely have to go. But I would welcome that. Absolutely.
And that's why I'm asking the question, because I would like to think that there's a way that we can get some relief on this. It's the existing condition now, and we haven't seemed to have had problems with, and I understand, fire trucks and all that, but there's no cul-de-sac now, and there hasn't been since the street was formed. There's probably a way that some smaller footprint could be accommodated. I get it. It seems a shame.
It does.
And I'm willing to bet that there is a configuration where both these driveways could be extended on out to meet the street right-of-way. So I guess this falls to staff, fire marshal.
City engineer.
I guess I'd be willing to work with the applicant. I think the last version we had actually had an island in your little cul-de-sac, right?
Yes, the plan has been modified. What you're looking at on the CSM is just the right-of-way boundary. Yeah. That's why you don't see it.
Right. Not knowing where the savable trees are, I guess I can't answer that question now, but I'd be willing to work with you and to work something out. It may look like a lopsided circle or something, but
way that just in working with this site, I've been actually working on this site for about 10 years, believe it or not, so I've seen this as with you gentlemen. Lots of different ways and formats. The only way that I could really see it is just really a private drive just kind of splitting off of 80th Street. I don't know how well, you could kind of meander a little bit to avoid those trees. But I don't know if that would be acceptable or not.
And obviously, we have talked to the fire department. I don't know what a hammerhead configuration. Again, I don't know where the trees are and what. So.
The one tree that Mr. Haley is talking about is really right in the middle of by 30 feet or 20 feet from where 80th Street stops. There's just the tricky thing there, too, is if you look at the wetland delineation, you're kind of sandwiched in between two wetlands, so you don't have a ton of flexibility there.
Let's do Commissioner Thinnes first.
in looking at alternatives, that's one of the things I thought of too, was a modified cul-de-sac, something with either an island or a loop of some type in there. But, you know, and I don't know exactly where these trees are, but you're saying these are older trees. And if you go in there, I mean, around oak trees, and you disturb the surface, even to do any kind of pavement at all, you condemn those trees because they won't survive that. They're very temperamental to the surface around them being disturbed. And it might take 20 years for them to go, but they'll start on day one and gradually over time.
I would like to say for the record that when we looked at the driveway configuration, we were limited, of course, because of the wetlands and the home sections, is that we were very careful. Although we didn't have to, we did survey every single tree over 8 inches on that site. So that you're not seeing that on the site. We made a real effort to look at those home sites, not to disturb steep slopes, to put the home sites in an area that we would disturb a minimum of trees. But I definitely agree that that cul-de-sac is smack right where that one old tree is. It's just, I don't know what to do about it.
Would it be possible to look at possibly coming in out of these two lots from Hilltop?
Here we go.
No. Yeah, this is, yeah, that just changes the whole dynamic of the subdivision. These are going to be probably $600,000 to $700,000 homes. Mm-hmm. And to come in off of Hilltop, it just changes the dynamic.
It's inconvenient to get in from that way.
Well, it just changes from a perception of the buyer who's going to want to be in a $600,000 or $700,000 home. I think it's important that you go through this Stonewood subdivision where at least the home values are probably in that $300,000 to $400,000
range.
Mm-hmm.
That's what.
Commissioner Haley, then City
Engineer. Just to follow up on my thought about the cul-de-sac, I understand where we're at, and I think part of my concern is that it's not just the cul-de-sac itself, but as Commissioner Finn has indicated, it's the clearing, the grading that's needed done to install curb and gutter, change the grades, do the paving, clear out the right-of-way, which is what the fire truck. So, if you know, I'm not saying we can't have anything, but it'd be great if there was something that could have a much smaller footprint, because typical practice would be to come in and clear everything right to the limits of that right-of-way.
I would welcome that, if it's possible, when we look at it from an approval standpoint, if somehow we could work that out with staff, because I don't want to turn this into me coming back here twice, three times, four times. I would commit to working something out with staff as much as possible. I just want to try to control this. This is a small little site, and I understand that it's very sensitive, but if somehow an approval would be tied into working with staff to try to minimize the footprint of that cul-de-sac, that'd be probably what I'd do.
And I don't know that it needs to be a restriction. I guess that what I'm asking for is that if you're willing to staff and see if there isn't some alternative.
Absolutely.
That would at least reduce the number of impacts.
Sure. I think there's a benefit there too, because reducing that will allow us, allow both those the conservation easement or the yards to expand a little bit. So I think that helps the individual homeowners there as well. And because there is areas with our tree survey that we should be able to expand that a little bit without having to disturb any trees.
That's great. That's all I can ask for.
Mr. City Engineer.
A couple comments. One thing that wasn't brought up is we did work with the applicant to for the waterline easement that could go across, it has to be directional drilled, so we won't be digging through trees in the future. And the second comment, if you stake out the improvements that we last saw, we can go out in the field and look at it and propose an alternate. So.
Absolutely. I think that'd be a good site visit.
Mr. Dietl, the effect on the certified survey map, should some modification be made between staff and the applicant under the guidelines that the commission's talking about?
Boundaries of the lots would change because the right-of-way could potentially change. I think a note should be made to that point, but I don't think it would have to come back.
Commissioner Haley, then City Attorney.
Maybe the suggestion is that the street dedication remain the same and we just try to configure a different turnaround within that space. That wouldn't require readjusting of the CSM. It would be city right-of-way into the future, but maybe we have less of a street presence there.
The City Attorney.
That's an alternative. Otherwise, I would insert a condition authorizing staff to approve change to footprint for the right-of-way. Either that or what Commissioner Haley said works.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being part of the northeast one quarter and the northwest one quarter of the southeast one quarter of Section 21, Township 5 North, Range 21 East in the City of Franklin, also permitting Mr. City Attorney.
I like Commissioner Haley's.
What did you say, Kevin? This is your motion, so.
He didn't require a condition, so the CSM would not be affected. The area for what's now shown as a cul-de-sac would remain as public right-of-way, but there's an on-the-record commitment from the developer and city staff to work together to look for an alternative. So yeah. That works.
I personally, I'd like to give staff a little bit extra leeway here because, quite frankly, I don't, you know, with the location on the west wetlands, like to be able to, you know. So I got most of the motion read in. Anybody got the ending part of it? Or nothing? Okay. So is there.
Keep it as is.
Yeah, we leave it. Mr. Well, hold on. Is there a maker of that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Deep.
I'm just wondering how likely would the possibility be that we would want to change the shape or size of that right away? And if there is a good possibility of that, then maybe we shouldn't say something now.
The man who'd have an answer to that question is waggling his finger at me, Mr. City Engineer.
I don't know that it's real likely because of the way the wetlands are, and if we reconfigured the right away, then we've got to mess with the Environmental Commission and all that sort of stuff again. But I guess there would be a slight chance because maybe you could bump it a little bit north. And then I don't even know what that would look like, but there's a slight chance.
Mr. City Attorney.
I think the office holder that would have to be dealt with primarily is the fire chief.
Yes.
And just historically, there has been no movement on areas required for turnaround for emergency vehicles.
Commissioner Hill.
And I would just further add that if in the future, if we found an alternate alignment and it was determined that we really needed to go to the full-blown cul-de-sac, the right-of-way would still be there and that change could be made in the future.
All right, motion on the floor to recommend approval. Commissioner Tennis.
I just got one question. Was the property line through the center of the two parcels there, was that dictated by the water easement?
Yes. It just made it easy that way.
To connect the two roads.
Yeah. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
We're getting close. All right, we'll move to item D2, Rawson Pub, a live outdoor musical entertainment temporary use application. Mr. Deal.
As a temporary use, this is something that the Plan Commission makes the final determination on. It's asking to hold allow a band this Saturday evening, I believe,
yep.
From 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. South on the south side of the pub. Where an existing patio is, and then between the building and the volleyball courts and stuff. Staff's recommending approval, conditioned upon that being the location behind the building where the existing patio is. Furthermore, that the speakers be pointed to the south and west, towards where the quarry is. However, the mayor may have pointed out a good point. Berms act as good sound barriers. They bounce the noise back. So pointing it towards the quarry is a good idea, but with the berm there, some of that's going to be bounced back. So then partly for that reason, maybe the mayor was suggesting instead of 11 o'clock as the applicant was proposing, maybe 10:30 would be better. Staff would be comfortable with that change. The other thing I would note is that we did have, and so right now we have that as a suggestion, changing the time, the finish time from 11 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And then related to that, I did mention in the staff report that where we've done things similar to this before, the most common or most similar is Mulligan's, but we've done others. They've ranged everywhere from 10 to 12 o'clock. So 11 o'clock, from that standpoint, isn't too unreasonable either. But from the standpoint, they do have a berm that would be bouncing some of this noise back to where the closer houses are. They are a little bit farther away. This is not immediately adjacent to a residential district. But there are some homes not too far away. So right now, staff's recommendation, as is the applicant proposed, 11 o'clock, we're just suggesting 10:30.
I assume you're Mr. Schweitzer.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. Can we have your name and address, please, for the record?
10165 South 76th Street, Steve Schweitzer.
Questions for the staff or applicant?
I make a motion to approve it and have it end at 11.
Okay, the motion to approve the resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of the temporary use for live outdoor musical entertainment upon the property located at 5621 West Rawson Avenue has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
My only comment is you're now sandwiching a group of people in between you and the Rock for a party on a Saturday night.
Oh.
Let's be aware of the neighbors.
Yeah, no, my closest neighbor, I just stopped by him, W Brothers Trucking, and I know him.
Teddy doesn't care.
They don't care at all.
Teddy doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's the folks to the west. Anyway, okay, so the motion's been made and seconded, the discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you very much.
And now to item D3, Verdue Park Office Park Development Master Sign Program, Mr. Deal.
We do these only once in a while. Master Sign Programs, it's where there's multiple buildings or multiple tenants within a building or a combination of both, where the applicant or the owner of the larger property wants to trade higher quality signage for additional signage. So usually the premise of the master sign program is the applicant wants more signage. And then the trade-off would be we add some questions about the quality of that sign, the colors, the materials, locations. Previously for this project, before it was Verdure Park, was the Fountains of Franklin. That was never built. You could see the footprints, footings and foundations of the buildings were developed though. They did get their approvals for that Fountains of Franklin. They did get this master sign program at the time. So they're proposing changes to that master sign program to reflect the architecture and layout of the existing building and which they envision to carry forward to the other future buildings. A number of changes, as mentioned in the staff report, just a couple of the larger ones. It will be even more square footage of signage than was previously approved. But in past examples of master sign programs, it's been all across the board. There is, as far as staff is aware, we're not aware of any kind of policy or guideline that the past practice has established in terms of how much was too much. It's going to be a case-by-case call. Staff is recommending approval with only a couple of minor changes of a couple of conditions and one suggestion. But I believe the biggest change would be the amount of signage. They go into detail in the report as well about, you know, some of the changes to the type of signage. There's some issues where some changes to coloring. But if you have any questions, the applicant would be here to answer those tomorrow. So we are recommending approval with two conditions and one suggestion.
Mr. Higgin?
No. Nick Mason, Innovative Signs.
And your address, please.
795 Doral Road, Waukesha.
Thank you very much. Master Sign Program and signs, we're trying to legislate in a aesthetic, and it's kind of tough. I used to work in a sign business a million years ago. So, questions for the applicant, Commissioner Tennis, or staff?
Joel, these signs here, I mean, we don't know what these look like, right? I mean, as far as the main direction wayfinding sign at the front of the thing, you know, we had the arches before, you know, very architecturally oriented sign work. Is there a request to not follow the guidance of having the signs with masonry bases and following the architecture of the buildings if they're out near the roadway?
Correct. Partly correct. As you can tell, they are going to use masonry product on the columns or posts for that master identification sign. So this is the only sign that they give us the full details on. So this is what the sign will look like if it's approved. The difference being that the criteria and the standards in the master sign program would say that the bottom base would have to be all masonry, not just the two posts or columns. Staff is saying that it looks okay, and that material would be based on the materials they're using for the building. But technically, the master sign program standards would say it would have to be a solid base with that masonry product. But we're saying...
Okay, but this isn't a proposal or anything. This isn't submitted for approval. This could change 100%.
If it changes, they would have to come back again. If we approve it, that's all they could build for that master identification sign. There would be no archway anymore. They would only have and no monument signs. Instead, they would have this. And if they wanted to build something other than that sign for their master identification sign, they would have to come back.
Okay. So this is approving that particular sign, but right. None of the building signs, because you don't know what they are yet, other than correct. The general description that's given here, where it's going to be a white sign on, not on raceways or anything, and they're going to allow color variations for logo purposes, and that's it. Otherwise, yes. It's all going to just be a white sign. Okay. The other thing is they're looking for increase in square footage, but I know they give two criteria for determining square footage limits. And first off, this is going to be in lieu of the normal sign ordinance, so once this is approved, then they don't have to go through architectural review board or anything for size or limits as long as they stay within the boundaries that are set here. But they give two different ways of determining the maximums. First off, they have 1.5 times the linear feet of frontage for the tenant signs on the building. And then there's another one for 2,346 square feet of total signage on the property. Are they in alignment with each other?
That I'm not sure.
Because we know it with the number of linear footage on the buildings. Frontage on there, do we know what the maximum signage would be if they went to the maximum limits for that signage?
With the latest proposal, no, we did not.
Because that would be kind of interesting to make sure that the totals don't conflict with each other, where some tenant can't get his required or allowable signage because they're going to start bumping up against the ceiling on the other paragraph there.
Yeah, I can speak to that. We did the math and figured it all out. Maximizing out the square footage on every suite keeps us underneath the total no matter what. If we go as big as we can possibly fit in every space, there's no physical way we can go bigger than the allowed square footage because you'd have to make every sign in that building match that you can pop that.
So there is enough ceiling. If everybody maxes out on the building, there's enough ceiling to let you
exactly.
Do what you want to do for other signs on the property.
Exactly. You got to look at it.
Name and address, please.
My name is Eric Hyam. I'm with Blind Squirrel Development. My address is 17855 Bermuda Boulevard, Brookville, Wisconsin. If I could add two to this, I apologize. I have not met this gentleman yet. His people have been working for us.
I've emailed him a lot.
Yes, I know who he is. But the purpose and intent, I mean, we had some things that were on the previous existing ordinance that the city would like to see changed, and so we were willing to adopt and change that. But part of it, too, is there was really no consideration. We're doing four-sided architecture around all the buildings that we're putting on there. Well, given if all of a sudden this becomes a road behind the buildings, now my tenant should have the ability to have some signage on that side as well because the tenants themselves will be through the whole building. So because we're doing four-sided architecture, we don't want to just shoot ourselves and it's, you know, you only get a sign on one side. You know, we want to have that available, so that's why we increased the square footage a little bit to account for that building for the future, so we don't have to go through this again. And in lieu of that as well, we've got rid of, originally there were two monument signs in front of the two front buildings. We've eliminated those to just put up that central sign that we have here, and putting the electronic style board on there that would rotate for the tenants, you know, and it'd be very, that would be very controlled in what was on there. It'd be very, we're looking to have it be high class, highly aesthetically pleasing. Hopefully you've seen the building there, that we've really tried to go above and beyond and make a nice looking property, and we want to continue that, and we are willing to put in the, you know, require our tenants to have a higher quality sign, individual letters rather than the track type of sign. We really are concerned about the appearance of the property.
What you said just created another question for me. I know you had stipulated here which building and which sides were to put signs on. And they, you know, the ones they did have signs on sides that faced the other parking areas. Like right. Building D had the north side, the south side, and the west side, which faces all the parking areas. But now I'm curious, the north and south sides of that building, which are the sides of the building, the signage for those sides of the building, would they be just limited to the tenants that are on the corner, or would you be putting up cluster signs that would list all the people that are in that building?
It would be the tenant occupying that
on
that
the
square
corner.
Footage, yeah.
So you wouldn't have a sign that has five different tenants' names on that side of the building or something?
No.
It would just be the wraparound of the
building. Because they would have the ability to have on the front back of their unit. They don't... I'm not a big fan of the I don't want it to look like, you know, your entrance way up north where everybody's got a sign.
And I've seen that on buildings where, you know, they'll put up on a side wall at a building that's a blank wall, they'll have a placard for every business that's in the building, and it looks like a directory is what it looks like.
Right, and all of our walls, as the buildings are developed, we have windows there, so, you know, that it helps to eliminate that, and it's much more aesthetically pleasing. But we don't want... Because signage, while it's changing, evolving, we don't want any to lose tenants because they don't get enough. And I think that the changes that we've made are comprehensive for the future. And we'll take into account the changes.
A question for the staff. As we calculate the overall the sign face area, we calculate by letter since we're only doing channel letters, or do we calculate by the gross area occupied by the sign and its total area?
I'll take a shot at it, and Nick can kick me in the mouth. You draw a box around those letters.
That's the reasonable way to think.
That's the way we anticipated it.
It's a rookie mayor question, sorry.
No, now we have to do what you said. So.
Any other questions for the applicant or staff? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve a resolution approving an amendment to the master sign program for the Verdue Park, 5600 single-story professional multi-tenant office building development? Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're getting close.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I should have waited here.